ministers this morning as they go up. Thank you, Brother Chris. Yes. Thank you, worship team. Yes. Good to see everybody this morning. Good to be in his house. Just a quick announcement, everybody. Remember the Trail of Treats coming up in two weeks from last night. I know the life groups are signing up back on the sheets and all of that. Let's be excellent and outstanding in this. It's a big deal for our kids. And if it's a big deal for our kids, it needs to be a big deal for us. Amen? Amen? All right. Yes. It's a big deal for our kids. It needs to be a big deal for us. I also want to remind you, and I have not checked, I'm just assuming right here, November 3rd, Elevation Worship is going to be at Free Chapel up in Gainesville. The reason I say that is because there are some significant, you said, bro, that's a two-hour drive. I know. I know. We don't think nothing about driving to our kids' softball tournament 2 hours away. But for our spiritual life, we're like, ooh, that's too much of a stretch. But I want to encourage everybody to get tickets and go to that. It will be a phenomenal evening. It's on a Friday night. So I just really want to encourage you. The tickets are like 20-something bucks, if they're still available. I don't know if they're still available. I got mine, so, you know, y'all on your own. But I want to encourage everybody to go to that. Elevation Worship and Hillsong and Bethel are probably the three, you know, most global worship movements right now. And just releasing, I believe, a sound from heaven. And so I want you guys to tap into that. I want to expose you to that. I want to get you hooked to that type stuff and all that. I'm not knocking anything on, you know, what you hear on 93.3. And I know a lot of you guys listen to 93.3 and all that stuff. There's another level. There's another level. I'll go ahead and say it. And that's not a knock. They're serving a purpose. It's better than listening to some other stuff. But there's another level than just listening to Christian pop. Okay? And it's engaging in true worship and releasing the sound of heaven and all that. And I'm not saying they don't play some worship songs and you know, please don't hate on me and say, you don't like 93.3 and all that. It's fine. There's just another level. And I want you to tap into that level. Okay? There's a sound from heaven, and I want you to tap into that. So, nourish yourself, strengthen yourself. I feel just good and light today. The Lord has just been, so good and so gracious. Such a place of peace and excitement about what God is doing. And I know you're like, really? And I'm like, yeah, really. You know, God's kind of been turning me on to Irwin McManus and Mosaic Church in California, and just some powerful stuff that God's releasing and confirming in my life from that, and just reading some of those books and some really good stuff. So I want to encourage you to press in and nourish and if you feel like you're discouraged or dry or anxious about the future in your spiritual life or anything like that, nourish yourself in Him on His stuff. Okay? And you do that by feeding yourself. And all. And I really want to encourage you to do that. Step into that arena where you begin to feed your spirit, man. And it can be through word, it can be through worship, it can be through all of these avenues. And please tap into that, okay? I'll keep talking all of that stuff up. Wednesday night, I want us to continue where we were Wednesday night. I started a series about a month ago on worship. And I know when I told you guys that we were going to start a series on worship, you're kind of thinking a normal study that, okay, we're going to look at the nuts and bolts and the different aspects of worship and all that. And God's carrying us in a totally, totally different direction on this as far as underlying the backdrop and the foundational stuff and all of that to the different expressions of worship. All of this other are expressions of worship, and it's good. And I could come in and I can talk to you, and we probably will at some point, about recognizing the moment, recognizing who He is, and recognizing who we are, and all of those things. But there are some huge things, some huge dynamics at play behind all this that I think it's imperative that we get. And the Lord carried me. I don't know if He had... I haven't read this somewhere, but there may be 1,000 books and sermons on it. But the Lord spoke to me very clear, and I've continued to write this down. And that is, the design of man is to be God's expression of Himself on the earth. The design of man is to be God's expression of Himself on the earth. When you look at the blueprint, and I know I'm reiterating something that I've been bringing out for 2 or 3 weeks now, but when you look at the blueprint and God went out and He created all of creation, we can see His beauty and we can see different aspects of His glory in creation. I can look at a sunset and I can say, wow, God, You're amazing. I can look in the mountains, the Rocky Mountains, I'll say, God, You're amazing. I can hear the waves roar and praise God and worship God through their crashing on the beach, and I'll say, wow, God, You're amazing. But they in themselves are not His expression of Himself. It's not His autobiography. It's not His self-portrait. It's not His masterpiece. Beautiful things that I enjoy. Beautiful things that we all look and we see splendor and majesty. But it is not His self-portrait. And you know who that is? You. And we went at great length to talk about this, and we backed it up through all of these scriptures. He comes in and He said, let us make man in our image. He said He breathed His life force into man. He breathed His breath, so you're created in His image, and He breathed His breath in you. And so the perfect ultimate design of His expression here on earth, I talked about how when Adam, and I love the story in Genesis 1, when Adam came forward and God created him and He formed him out of the dust of the earth, and He breathed into his nostrils, That's face to face. Face to face. And He breathed into his nostrils. And then He creates all of the animals and all of this. Or He actually did that before He created man. And He brings all of this stuff. And He sits Adam down. And I love this, because He sits Adam down and brings all of these things before Adam. We could do some preaching and teaching on that. That He sits Adam down. That might be going a little bit with what Brother Damon talked about, being seated. Being seated before the Lord. And He sits Adam down and He brings all these animals before Him. And God asked Him, He said, what do you want to name this? And the Word says, whatever Adam named it, that was its name. Wasn't no question. God didn't say, that's a dumb name. It's a bad idea. It was whatever Adam named it, that was its name. Whatever Adam named it, the animals accepted it as their name. They didn't argue. They didn't say, that's a dumb name. I'm going to let God name me. When the animals, I ask a question out here, and I said, when the animals looked at Adam, how did they differentiate Adam from God? They accepted Adam as God. Adam had authority. He wasn't the foreman. He wasn't the straw boss. He wasn't the guy that came in and did this. He was made in the express image of God, filled with the breath of God, walked in God, with God, and in God's place. And so when they looked at Adam, it was as if they were looking at God. All of this is, of course, pre-curse. Then this little problem came along, and it's called sin. Ever since the sin curse, we've been trying to get back to that original state. Amen? The glorious thing is the cross happened. I know you're saying, preacher, you're preaching basic theology to me, and I've been saved 28. Listen, I want you to get it. I know you've heard it for 28 years, but I want you to finally get it. The cross came, and Jesus hung on the cross. He shed His blood as the sin payment for humanity to restore us to our original state. When He hung on the cross, He didn't say, boy, I got the first part done, then we'll do this, this, and this. You know what He said? Katelestai. That means it is finished. Paid in full. Then He fills us with His Spirit and He says, now, go out and be like the original Adam was. We have issues with that because we still have this thing called a sin nature that tries to attach itself to us. The thing that we say about the devil, which I believe is so accurate, is the devil is powerful, but he has no authority. He's powerful, but he has no authority. And so we come in, and now we're in this redeemed state. How many of you believe that you're in the process of redemption? You're redeemed. You're redeemed. Now the thing for us, Randy, is to get so full of God that it's easy for us to walk it out. To get so intoxicated with His presence. So filled with who He is. So filled with His Word. So filled with one-on-one, face-to-face, to where the breath goes in our nostrils again. We say, breathe on us, breathe on us, breathe on us. You know what I want? Breathe in me. Breathe in my nostrils. Fill me up. Don't sprinkle me with pixie dust because it wears off. Right? How many of y'all had just a cool encounter? Y'all go into church service and man, it's hopping and it's good. And you're like, woo, man, yeah, I felt Jesus in there today. And you walk out and all that stuff. And that's good. I like that. I like to feel it too. I like the hair on the back of my neck to stand up. I like to fall out in the Holy Ghost. I like to be slain in the Spirit. That's our terminology. I like it. It's cool. It's wonderful. I like Him working on us. But at the end of the day, I want Him breathing His breath in my nostrils. Where He said, you are full of me. So much so, you are my expression of myself on the earth. The ultimate form of worship is not me in front of any type of auditorium, whether it be here or a coliseum. Down front with my hands lifted up, that is easy. It's not you dancing. I know that may be hard for you, and I know I can't dance, but the Lord digs it. Only two people I care that think I'm a good dancer, and that's Him and her. And if I got both of them hooked, then I'm good. Right? But that's not the ultimate expression of worship. The ultimate expression of worship is not skillful play, although I appreciate and love skillful play. I appreciate that. Keep working on your craft. It is a form of worship. But the ultimate expression of worship is me walking on this planet like Jesus. Not just what would Jesus do, but how does He look? What does He say? What presence does He carry? That when I'm walking through heaven, just stroll through the room. You say, brother, that's kind of being out there. I'm saying that's the goal, guys. That's the bar. That's the mark that we're aspiring to. That's what we're aspiring to. That is the potential that is in every one of us. And it is God's design for every one of us. Don't let the sin curse cheat you out of living a great life. Because according to our theology, which I believe to be correct, and I'm not talking about our theology, you get in any church around here that's a good Bible-believing church, and they'll have very, very similar theology, that according to our theology, the sin curse is broken. It's broken. If it's not broken, then what was the blood of Jesus about? If it's not broken, what was the resurrection about? If it's not broken, what was the ascension about? What is sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us about? So according to our theology, we are to walk as God's expression of Himself here on earth, and that is the ultimate form of worship. Kenny being what God designed him to be is the ultimate form of worship. Any inventor, when they come in and they create something, they design something, they get a patent on something, and they come in. Who was it? Eli Whitney that did the cotton gin? Somebody help me on history. Is that right, Leroy? It was Eli Whitney. Wasn't it? Cynthia said, yeah, she knows. She made an A in history. Him making the cotton gin, you know what the ultimate expression of worship toward him was? When that cotton gin performed properly out in the field. And he walked by and he said, that is the expression of the creativity that God placed in my mind. So in a sense, that cotton gin was worshiping Eli Whitney by performing like it was designed to perform. Y'all see what I'm saying on this? And so your ultimate expression of worship is simply being what God created you to be. Simply being Chris Meacham. That doesn't get you off the hook for all of these other expressions. I believe when that one is flowing properly, all of these other expressions will be manifest. But I want us to take the box of worship, and I said I want us to expand it. I really want us to bust this box of worship to where every aspect of what you do is worship to Him. The way you perform your job is worship to Him. The way you love your wife is worship to Him. The way you love your children is worship to Him. The way that you love your children's friends is worship to Him. The way you love the guy with the Rolls Royce is worship to Him. The way you love the guy with the shopping cart is worship to Him. No greater, no less. It's all worship to Him. Because you're God's expression of Himself here on the earth. All right, I just repaid that one more time. I want y'all to get this. I may hit this 16 more times over the next 24 weeks. But I want you to get to walk out of here getting this. All right, now where we were Wednesday night, in that same vein, in that same expression, and I want to talk just a few minutes about the power of influence this morning, okay? Just some stuff God spoke to me Wednesday night and yesterday, and I want to spin out of that. But we were talking about this true worship, and we were talking about Caleb. And without going in and rereading the story of Caleb and everything about Caleb, we know who Joshua and Caleb were. If you weren't, get with me, man. I'll be happy to tell you the story later on and all this stuff. But Caleb comes in, and after 40 years, he enters into the promised land. And I asked the question of what was Caleb's inheritance? What was Caleb's inheritance? And boy, I want to say it was so thick Wednesday night. My gosh. It was, I came, you weren't here, were you? I'm sorry. I was just undone Wednesday night. I mean, it was, you know, I looked out and there's 25 people and all of us are crying. And just undone by His presence. And we were talking about Caleb and I asked a question. I said, what was Caleb's inheritance? If anybody deserved a retirement party, it was Caleb. If anybody deserved I get the pick of whatever I want, it was Caleb. Because they come into the promised land in Joshua chapter 1. They conquer Jericho. Eventually they conquer Ai after a whoopsie. They begin to conquer this land, and they conquer so much of the land, it's a point now where they can say, all right, let's divide it up according to inheritance. Now remember, 40 years earlier, Caleb had walked and given a great report. 10 of the other spies gave a very negative report, and we're going to talk about this on the power of influence in just a second, as a form of worship, as a form of worship. So Caleb came in, and he gave a faith-filled report and said, this land is awesome. This land is everything God said that it would be. There are giants here, and there are walled cities. I want to tell you something, folks. If there were no inhabitants there to conquer, that would tell you the land wasn't very good. You know why people don't live in the wastelands? It ain't very good. Not knocking Wyoming. I like the state of Wyoming, but I can go through stretches of Wyoming 50 miles. I'll see signs and it says the next, potty is 72 miles away. And there are long, long, long stretches of barrenness there. And you want to inherit a land that nobody lives in. You want to inherit a land that you don't have to fight for. You want to inherit a land that there aren't any walled cities. There aren't any giants in. And that tells me the land's not very good. I want an easy inheritance, brother. Then you're not getting much of an inheritance. Y'all get my point on that? They came back and they says, yeah, the land is awesome. It's everything. 10 of them said, but it's occupied. This is going to be hard. And God's like, what did you expect? I told you it was a great land. If it's a great land, it's a place of contention. I feel like preaching on this a while here. I'm not for time's sake, but I feel like preaching on this a while here. You wonder why your destiny is under contention? Because it's fruitful land. You know why the enemy's after your marriage? Because it's fruitful land. You know why the enemy's after your kids? Because it's fruitful land. You know why the enemy's after your ministry? Because it's fruitful land. You know why the enemy's after your body, your church? It's fruitful land. You know why your enemy's after your finances? Because it's fruitful land. You ever thought about that? I just wish the devil would leave me alone. If you were a wasteland, he would. When you become a wasteland, he will. But as long as you are in play, he's after you. As long as you are a source of fruitfulness and life, he will be after you. What did you expect? He'll always be after this. You know why? Because it's a source of life. He'll always be after this. Because it's a source of influence. Huh? He'll always be after this. You know why? Because I'm generous. If I was stingy, he wouldn't be after it. He wouldn't be worried about it. Because he'd know I'm just going to store it up and pile it in a bank account. But because I'm generous and want to do things with it, you know what to do? He's always going to be after it. Come on, don't get quiet on me. This is truth. This will help you. This will bless you. He wouldn't be after your health if it was just a wasteland. But it's a place of bounty. It's a place of potential. It's a place of milk and honey. So he said, I want to inhabit that because it's good. Whew. New revelation for anybody this morning? You wonder why you're under attack? Because God didn't call you to be a desert. What's the little desert place in California where it's just hot as Hades? Mojave Desert's one place. I'm thinking of what's that where it's just the hottest place in the U.S. Somebody help me. I keep wanting to say the Dead Sea, but it ain't the Dead Sea. Death Valley. Y'all know how many people live in Death Valley? Anybody? That ain't like nobody living there. It is not up for contention. Because it's unfruitful. You know how many people live in the Fertile Valleys in California? Same acreage, isn't it? Woo! Everybody. Because it's fruitful. Do not be surprised when the enemy comes to attack you, to tear you down, that wants to take the places that you're living in, or is standing in your way on where you want to go. A lot of you people abort, a lot of us people abort what God desires to do in our life because we feel like there's too much standing in our way. What did you expect? If God was calling me into Death Valley, there wouldn't be anything standing in my way. I bet I could go out there, it may be a state park, I don't know, but I bet I could go out there if it's privately held. I bet I could buy that land on the cheap. I bet I'd get that for less than $1,000 an acre, even in California. But if I went to some of the vineyards in Sonoma, apart from the fires that are going through them now, that land's probably $200,000 an acre. It's a place of contention. It's a place of value. So do not be surprised in going and trying to reach this place of I am God's expression of Him on the earth when there is stuff standing in your way. Don't let it surprise you. The enemy's not going to look at you, Rob, and say, oh, go ahead. You be God's expression on earth. I'm cool with that. Go ahead, yep, knock yourself out. He is going to contend on you against you every step of the way. Every step of the way because it's fruitful. Because there's something there that is of value. So I just want to say that to you so you will not be discouraged when there is a fight that is engaged. When there is opposition, when there are roadblocks, when there are obstacles, when there are wall cities, when there are giants, and they're already living there, don't let it take you by surprise. God, I thought I'd enter into this place of nirvana and everything would just be wonderful, or euphoria, or you fill in whatever thing you want to say, and this place would just be tremendous, and it would be without any, you know, hiccups and all of that, and this amazing place for rest. And you know what Caleb said? He said, you know what my inheritance is? It's the place that stirred my heart. When he walked through this land 40 years earlier, he walked through all of the land. He spent 40 days walking through the land, T.W. He saw all of it. He saw the beautiful plains. He saw the great place for the cattle. He saw this and he saw that. But there was something about those mountains in there that stirred his heart. There was a hill country in there that stirred his heart. He said, I know giants live there, but when I put my feet walk across it, it makes me come alive. He said, that tells me that's my inheritance. And so I'm going to claim that inheritance. There's a reason the giants live there, because there's something about it that's awesome. And you know what? I think I'm going to claim that, and I think I'm going to take that. And the places that I go, that I desire to go are not going to be without conflict. But I still have to choose that as my inheritance. I want you to choose as your inheritance the thing that sets your soul on fire. You say, brother, I ain't found a lot that sets my soul on fire. Right now, the Rolls Royce sets my soul. That don't set your soul on fire. That sets your flesh on fire. But it does not set what's deep. You say, I ain't never had nothing come up. Begin a pursuit of God, and He will engage you, and there will be things that begin to come alive in you, and it will set your soul on fire. And those are the things that we need to bankrupt our life pursuing. And Caleb said, I will give everything up to get this. I'm 85 years old. He was 85 at this point. He said, I am 85 years old, and I am ready to go to war for my inheritance. I'm ready to go to war for this. I'm ready to go to war to be God's expression of Himself here on earth. And we talked about that Wednesday night, and it was just powerful. Like I said, I came and everybody was crying and all of that stuff because people felt, they felt greatness stirring in them. They felt a call on their life stirring in them. It messed with me. Actually, did it mess with you Wednesday night? Did it lie to me and tell me it did? It did. It was good. Because we felt that stirring in here. And he said, it is not going to be without resistance. It is not going to be without conflict. It is not going to be without opposition. And so that's where we were on Wednesday, and what I want to spawn out of this just for a few moments this morning, and we'll continue this at another date, is Caleb's choice and Caleb's heart to be God's expression of himself here on earth and to go after an inheritance that was filled with opposition, filled with giants, filled with wall cities, filled with all of these obstacles. And he said, I'm going for it anyway because I know that's kingdom. It inspired others to do the same. T.W., if you're in Caleb's tribe and you're a 25-year-old young buck, man, and you are strong and strapping and ready to roll, and you see this 85-year-old guy suiting up armor and saying, boy, I'm about to go kill me some giants. And dude, he is like strapping it on. And in your case as a firefighter, he's the first one that runs in. You know what you're going to do? You're going to follow him with a ferocity. You're going to say, good golly, if Caleb is 85 years old and he still has that kind of passion, he still has that kind of faith, he still has that kind of hope, he still has that kind of desire, he still has that Word of God that he's been holding on to. He's 45 years at this point, been holding on to that Word of God for 45 years, and he's going to rush in to attack the enemy and take the land. You know what it's going to do? It's going to inspire me to do the same. And I want my life to inspire people. I think the biggest thing that makes me want to throw up about our society today, and there's a lot of things, but I really think the biggest thing that makes me want to throw up about our society today is how narcissistic it is. And I can't throw it on the generation. I can throw it at my kids' generation and say, they're so narcissistic. It's all they've done. Yeah, that whole generation, it's all about them and this and this and this. My generation ain't much better. And I know a lot of people that are older than me, the next generation ahead of me, and they're pretty doggone stinking narcissistic too. All about them. All about what I'm feeling, and all about my pleasures, and all about this, and all about that. I got carried to Philippians chapter 1 this week. I was listening to some teaching from Erwin McManus, and he was just talking about some different things, and he was referencing Philippians 1, and I went over there and began to study Philippians 1. And in Philippians 1, the Apostle Paul is in prison at this point. It's about A.D. 63 or something like that. And he is in Rome. He's been delivered to Rome. We know the story of the Apostle Paul's life, a brilliant man, an educated man. A historical scholar said he could fluently speak six languages. He wrote one-third of the New Testament. He did all of these amazing, amazing things in this amazing life. And he's sitting in prison, and he's saying, man, I've got this huge thing going on, this struggle with me right now. He said, because it would be glorious for me to go and be with the Lord. But I also love this. I look around and I love these people. Yes, even the Roman centurions that are guarding me. I love these people. And so he said, I got this great internal struggle going on, Tyler, that what's best for me, which would be to be in the presence of Jesus, that I've already seen. I mean, God's carried me up to the third heaven and I've had these great visions and all of this cool stuff. And I so want to be with Him, but then I look and I so want to be doing all of this too because I love you all so much. So he said, I'm in this great strait, is what he calls it. And so he's coming in this place and he says, I've asked for courage because I know I need courage in all of this because of all of this journey that I've walked through and all of this. And if anybody should have been cynical toward people, it would have been the Apostle Paul. He had been rejected, he had been abandoned, he had got stoned, he had got whipped, he had been left for dead, he had been shipwrecked on three different occasions. All of this stuff had happened to him, and he's sitting here saying, man, I would love to go and be in heaven and be with Jesus and all of this stuff, but then I look out and I see y'all. And I realize that I'm a part of something that is so much bigger than me and so much greater than me. And there's this glorious thing called the church. And you guys, he said, I would be better off in heaven. But he said, it is so much better for y'all if I'm still here. That's what he said. My personal, I'd be better off in heaven. But it's better for y'all if I'm here. And I absolutely love that mindset. You know what our mindset is so often? Lori saw a shirt this week. I'm going to tell on you. She didn't buy it. She started to. She just said, yet. She texted Terry and Lisa and said, hey, y'all, I just saw this shirt. I'm like, I'm going to get it. You know what it said? It said, I love horses, and I like three people. Lisa texted her back and said, I think I'm going to get one that says, I love horses, and I think I like three people. Or I might like three people. And we get like that. Because people disappoint us. And people hurt us. And we hurt each other. And sometimes I don't look like God's expression of Himself here on earth. Because I know when I'm saying that, some of y'all look at me and say, man, if that's what God looks like, then I don't know, no thanks. And so often the church is so jacked up, that's what the world's saying, that's why we're not full this morning. Because they look at our attitude, and they look at our mindset, and they look at the way we bicker, and the way we fuss, and all of that stuff. And I'm not talking about necessarily us. I'm talking about the church. And we hate the gay community. We hate liberals. I know that's going on podcast. I don't hate the gay community. I don't hate liberals. I disagree with them. I do not. I promise you, I do not hate them. But we come across that way. Lori was telling me she was in a place recently, just this week, And I'm not knocking street preaching. I'm not knocking that. But the street preacher was there with the megaphone and shouting out basically that all you guys are going to die and go to hell. And you got all of these kids hanging out over here at the coffee shop. And they're arguing back and forth. And they're dressed. They've got black towel and all of that. You know how that kind of, I don't know what you call it, genre or whatever. Y'all know what y'all saying. Y'all know the gothic look and all of that stuff. And he's telling them they're wrong and dying and going to hell, and they're saying, you know, shut up, you're narrow-minded, and leave, and all of this stuff. And I'm like, nobody's getting closer to heaven in this. And we're saying, because you don't dress like me, and you don't act like me, and you have differing viewpoints, and you're way right, and I may be way left, because we disagree on the Second Amendment, so none of us can express the kingdom properly. And the Apostle Paul's coming and saying, man, I would love to be with Jesus, but y'all are way better off if I stay here. And I want us to recognize the power of influence in our lives and take that mindset and say, it is expedient for me to be here because I can help TW make it. I want to read two verses. I promise, just two. I'm going to read something out of Joshua 14 right here, verse 8. Everybody just listen to me. Joshua 14, verse 8. If you're making notes, just write that down. This is Caleb speaking when he's claiming his inheritance. He said, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me, talking about the other 10 spies, they made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord. 10 guys made the heart of the people melt. 10 faithless people made everybody else die in the wilderness. Think about the weight of your influence. 10 people caused 1 million people to die in the wilderness. If all 12 had come back, Kenny, I am convinced, if all 12 had come back and said, this land, yes, it is, and gave the same report of Joshua and Caleb, if all 12 had come back and said, we can do this, you know what? It would have strengthened the faith of the people. They would have walked right into the promised land. And they would have fought. And they would still had to kill Amalekites and Hittites and Hivites and all of these other guys. They'd have still had to kill them. They would have had to fight. But they would have inherited the promised land. But because 10 people said, we're not able, and I'm faithless, and this is a bunch of garbage, and I'm out of here, and all of that, it caused a whole nation to walk away from God. That's why God killed them all off. He said, I'll raise up another generation. I don't want my influence to be such that it causes people to fall away or be faithless. Because I'm Debbie Downer and I'm negative. And I'm discouraged. And I'm not saying you always fake it till you make it, but get over it and come on, pull yourself out. Let God pull you out. We all get discouraged. We're talking about worship. You know what one of my greatest forms of worship is? Is being an encourager. And when I encourage you in your faith, you know what that is? That's worship to Him. That's worship to Him. I guarantee you he'd rather me come in and encourage Randy Hagin. That dude, you can be this awesome hero, this mighty man of God. You can be this champion of faith. You can be an awesome husband and an awesome father and an awesome grandfather and help undergird him into being that man. That's more important to God than me jumping up and down on the front row. I'm going to still keep doing that. But I better be willing to do that. I don't want to make your heart melt. I've had guys work for me through the years, and they're like, we can't do it. We ain't going to be able to get it done. I'm like, man, we need to get done by quitting time. And all. Ain't no way. It ain't going to happen and all that stuff. And just, you know, negative, negative, negative. Y'all ever been around any of those guys? Any of those women? They've got a closet full of shirts that says, I love horses and I like 3 people. I'm glad Jesus didn't wear that T-shirt. I just made it impossible for Lori to buy that shirt now, didn't I? If she buys it, it'll hang in our closet. I'll use it to sight in my rifles. I'm going to think about the power of influence. Those 10 guys caused a whole generation to die off. And our problem is we come in and we focus not on the Word of God, not on the promises of God, not on the stirring of God. You know, people look and say, man, are you discouraged and all that? Dude, I came undone Wednesday night. How can I be discouraged when I came undone Wednesday night? Huh? That's a simple question. I came undone in His presence in a corporate setting Wednesday night. Am I pumped up? Yes! Dude, I'm fired up right now. Personally, corporately? I came in, walked in that side room, and all of a sudden I started hearing Madeline singing the Lazarus song. You heard it too. We came in about the same time. My heart leapt. Madeline, my heart leapt. It encouraged me. Strengthened me. Got me excited. I'm like, woo! Yeah! I'm going to stick my head out and say, turn it up! Turn it up! That was as much worship by you saying yes to that as it was the lyrics of the song that you sang. By you strengthening the brethren, that was beautiful worship. And ain't nobody else even got here yet. Y'all see what pure worship is? You see what pure worship is? See what the power of influence is? I'm going to read one other verse and we're done. Acts 28. If you can get there right quick, Jeffrey. Acts 28, 15. If I can get there real quick. It's after John, isn't it? This is before the Apostle Paul wrote the letter to Philippi that we just referenced a while ago. Paul is on this journey to Rome. He has been shipwrecked on the Isle of Miletus, spent 3 months on the island, gone through hurricane, gone through all of this stuff, but he's on this journey, he's got this call of God on his life. And verse 15 says, I'm going to back up to 14, I'm going to lie to you, read two verses. Where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum, or the marketplace, and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, this is Luke writing this, Luke was with them, when Paul saw this, he thanked God and took courage. Here's what I want you to leave with this morning. In us being God's expression of Himself on earth, and the power of influence. I read the story in Joshua 14 about Caleb and about the other 10 spies and the power of their influence for and against. All right? We saw that. I know what you're saying. They are in a position of fame and authority and huge leadership and all of that stuff. And everybody knows those are the most influential people and I'm a nobody. That's what the enemy will tell you. They'll tell you, I'm a high school student. I don't have any influence. I'm a middle school student. I don't have any influence. I know you're in high school. I'm a middle school student. I don't have any influence. How many times has the enemy told you you were small? How many times has the enemy told you you were small? How many times has the enemy told you you were small? But I see a bunch of nameless people. They do not. Their name is not even penned in the Scripture. I see a bunch of nameless people that hold no position that we know of. They would seem to be much more like us than the 12 spies that went out, right? The common man, we would all fit in that. But then I come in here and I see this verse, and it said, they came out to meet the Apostle Paul, and it says, when he saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Power of influence. Dude just came off a shipwreck, 3 months on the island, headed up to Rome, who knows what. He knows ultimately he'll probably be jailed and beheaded, which he was. But a bunch of believers, brethren, came and met him. In this public place, in this public, the Appii Forum and the three taverns, which was famous taverns in that area, and came and met him in that place. And when he saw them, he thanked God. He worshiped. It caused him to worship, and it caused him to take courage. You have the power to help elevate somebody to the next level. You have the power to elevate somebody to make it through the next day. You have the power to elevate somebody to make it through the next week, the next month, the next hardship. You lock arms with them and say, I know that there is a fortress that's in front of you, a walled city that's in front of you. I know this is blocking the way to your destiny, but here, let me help you on the way, Tyler Carter. I understand I'm not this huge leader. I'm not Bill Johnson, but I am a brethren. One thing jumped out at me in reading Joshua 14 and Acts 28:15, 14:8 and 28:15. The word was the same that was used. When Caleb was talking about the other 10 influential spies, these were the most 12 influential people in the nation of Israel at this moment. They carried more weight than anybody probably other than Moses at this time and Joshua at this time. But they basically carried the nation in the balance on what their report was going to be. Everything was hinging on them. And how did Caleb refer to them? He said, my brethren. He didn't say Prince Alibaba and Prince, you know, this one and Prince that one and Prince that one. He said, my brethren. What did it say in Acts 28:15? My brethren. They all carried a similar weight of influence. Just what moment in time? And here's where you are, guys, are right now. You carry the influence of life and death in your words and in your attitude and in your actions. And there are people that you are surrounded with that are struggling in many different areas. Maybe they're just weary. Maybe they're tired. You know? Stuff you guys are going through. You know, Marvin's working two jobs so y'all can fly Danielle back and forth from Texas every couple weeks, and y'all can fly out there every few weeks to see his daughter. And my gosh, y'all know how exhausting that is physically. I know how exhausting that is emotionally. I know how draining that is financially. And y'all are doing all of that stuff. And I applaud you, and I encourage you, and I undergird you. And I say, keep the faith, because it'll be worth it. Because there's a little girl that won't say, yeah, I've got a dad, but I don't know him. There's a little girl that says, my dad is awesome. And my stepmom is awesome. We'll just take the step out of that. My mom, my other mom's awesome. She's awesome. And I encourage you in that. And you encourage Marvin in that. Say, baby, let's don't get discouraged. Let's keep the faith. Let's keep doing this. She's worth it. The kingdom's worth it. What God wants to do in her life is worth it. And it may be jacked up on the other end, but this end can be right. That's the power in this, guys. That's the power in this. That's the power in this. And I don't know any details with Michelle or what's going on and all that, but you have the power of awesome influence. The power of awesome influence. And it said that Paul thanked God. And he found courage. Because a bunch of jokers came out there and said, we're with you, brother. And you got a calling on you that may not be on us, but we're with you. And I'm going to help you walk this thing out. And I believe in your kids, and I believe in your grandkids. And I believe in the call on your life. And so I want to stand with you, and I want to encourage you. So take courage. Take courage. And thank God you're not alone. Oh, somebody, come on. That's true worship. That goes beyond getting all the notes right. I don't care about getting the notes right. I want it to be nice, but I don't care about getting the notes right. I want to do that well. I want to do that well. I want to do that well. That's what you were doing when you were down here praying with Michelle. You were locking arms with her and saying, I love you. You may be neck deep in the circle and know exactly what's going on. I ain't got a clue, but you're standing with her and you're saying, I am locking arms with you and I love you and I'm going to help walk this thing out with you and I'm going to stand and I'm going to believe in faith with you. And you know what that'll cause her to do? That'll cause her to thank God for a sister. And that'll cause her to take courage because she says, I'm not in this journey alone. That's pure worship. You want a lesson on worship? That's a lesson on worship today. That's a lesson on worship. A lesson on blasphemy is we can't do this. We be not able. A lesson on Jezebel, we're not able. We're small. We're grasshoppers in their sight. You're small. You're nothing. You had 14 kids last night at the bonfire. I rejoice over 14 kids at the bonfire. I rejoice over 2 more than I rejoice over 10 that come in and say, we be not able. And you know what my worship is? It's to undergird it. As a father this morning, I was thrilled. Both my girls got up and said, I got a word from the Lord. I was thrilled. You know what my job is? To encourage and to facilitate and say, keep hearing from God. Keep pressing in and keep hearing from God. Keep hearing from God. I'll come out and I'll meet you. I'll meet you in this place. I'll meet you in this place of uncertainty. We can preach on this, Acts 28:15. I'll meet you in this place of uncertainty. I'll meet you in this place of fatigue. I'll meet you in this place of what the enemy would like to call fear. I'll meet you in this place. I'll come into this place, and Rome represented the world. I'll meet you in the bowels of the world. Rome represented the bowels of the world. It was the present day Babylon. And they said, we will meet you right here. We won't meet you in the sanctuary. We'll meet you right here. I'll meet you in the marketplace. I'll meet you when the world's kicking your teeth in. I'll meet you when you don't know what's next. I'll meet you right there. If it'll just help undergird you and lift you up. That's my ultimate expression of worship. It's I believe in Chris Meacham. And you know who that sounds like? That don't sound like Sid. That sounds like Yahweh. That don't sound like Sid. That sounds like Yahweh. Because that's what Yahweh says. Yahweh doesn't say you're not able. Yahweh says, I believe in you. Yahweh said, I died for you. Yahweh said, I shed my blood for you. Yahweh said that you're my brother. He said, you're my bride. He said, you're my friend. He said, you're my all of these things. That's what Yahweh said. That's what His Word said. That's what Jesus said. That's what the Holy Spirit said. And when I come in and do that, then you know what I am? I'm God's expression of Himself on earth. We have two choices. Two choices. What will we be? What will we be? What will I be? Will I encourage you and will I encourage your family and will I encourage your seed? Will I encourage your grandchildren? Will I encourage them? Will I be something that they can look to and they say, doggone, that's consistent. Will Hunter be able to look at me and say, that man is consistent. And Rolls Royces come and go. I've had, not physically, but I've had Rolls Royces and they have came and they have went and I have tinkle through them and everything else, you know, and tinkle them away. Y'all see, I'm editing real hard right now. I've done all of these things, but I want Hunter to look and say, there's a shopping cart he won't let go of. He'll leave the Rolls Royce as long as he can hold on to that shopping cart. Whew. That's the power of influence. That's the power of influence. That's the power we have. Not just as men, not just as leaders, but every one of us. Every one of us is being God's expression. Now stand to your feet this morning. Worship team, will y'all come up? A lot of times I struggle with altar calls because we think in our mind that the response should be this, or the response should be this, or the response should be that. There were a lot of things said this morning. And maybe some of it hits you somewhere. Maybe your heart needs to come alive again. Maybe you just need to be encouraged and strengthened in the Lord. These words, these dreams that He's put in you. Or maybe you need to check yourself and look and say, what has my influence been? Has it been negative or has it been positive? If it's been negative, you know what your proper response should be this morning? To repent. Not to me, but to Him. To Him. If it's been a negative influence, you need to repent. If you've been negative towards your children, repent. If you've been negative towards your grandchildren, repent. If you're not speaking life over them, if you're not undergirding hope over them, if you're not doing these things that we see in Acts 28:15, or a Caleb and a Joshua that we see in Joshua 14, or Numbers 13 and 14. It may just be a thing, God, fill me up so I'm better at this. Because I so want to look like You. And that's so, not so everybody will look at me and say, woo, they got it going on. So they walk away and say, man, I met Jesus today. It happened to be in Amy Meacham's skin, but I met Jesus today. I had an encounter with God today. And it looked like a spider monkey, but it felt like God. Amen? It looked like a spider monkey, but it felt like God. That's all I want. It's whoever walks in this service every Sunday, every Wednesday, to walk out and say, man, looked like a bunch of regular folks, but it sure did feel like God. Whew. That's our ultimate worship. Ain't nothing special about me, brother, but this is awesome about Him. Awesome about Him. Awesome about Him. Awesome about Him. God wants to blow up in y'all's world and take you further than I've ever even imagined going. That's what God wants to do in you guys. That's His heart for you. Hannah, that's His heart for you. To eclipse anything your mom and dad's ever experienced. I'm serious. They've been in some good places and God ain't done yet. I'm convinced the best is yet to come. But God wants to eclipse that in your life. Even God wants to eclipse that in your life. I ain't gonna talk about you shouldn't be here. You know that. But you are. You got an awesome mom, but He wants you to eclipse everything that she's experienced. She's one of them bases on the cheerleader squad that, you know what her job is? She's not a flyer. You're the flyer. That's why I'm still here. Because I love horses, but I love people too. That's why I'm still here. That's why I ain't quit. That's why I ain't retired. That's why you're still here. You might not love horses, but you love people. That's it. So whatever your response needs to be, just respond to it. Just move to Him this morning. Go ahead, worship team. Go ahead. Just come on down.